So, Peter, if that's your real name, are you Peter or are you an imposter?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you do. I think you're a sus.
Okay, who are you and what have you done with the host, Richard Garner?
So, yes, for people at home and for you, it is your old pal Richard here. But yes, that is Among Us lingo that we will be hearing. The cultural phenomenon that is sweeping the world by the millions and billions.
Yeah, so I get it now. The wildly popular game Among Us is what you're talking about. Very popular among us.
Yes, it is very popular among us. And so we wanted to take a deeper dive into this. And obviously, from the perspective of this particular show, what if discussed, what if Among Us was real?
Oh, people will be very excited.
I think so. And but of course, I'm not trying to fool anybody here. I'm not the person to probably lead that charge.
Or
answer those questions.
You look like a Twitch gamer.
Yeah, nor are you. So that's why we bring in experts like Leanna Rupert from Game Informer. Thanks for making yourself AFK. And yes, I did learn that yesterday. Leanna, how are you? Welcome to What If Discussed.
I am great. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk Among Us, those sus little astronaut jelly beans.
I actually have in your bio self-identified Among Us obsessive. And I didn't make that was actually your words, right?
It is. This game, it's so crazy. This game has been out for a couple of years, but only hit popularity recently. And I totally fell off the map. I didn't hear about it until I started seeing it climb on Twitch and I checked it out. And it's the perfect game. It's simple. In an era where gaming is all overwhelming open worlds and it has to either be game of the year or nothing at all. Like the simplicity of Among Us is refreshing, and I think with 2020 kind of needed, like we need just to relax and just chill. And it also kind of gives an outlet of rage because you literally just accuse each other and yell around a table until somebody wins or somebody loses. And that's a good outlet for just letting out some of the rage of whatever's going on in the world.
So it's a game that's being played by millions. It's being watched and streamed by billions. Some of the most compelling TikTok content that's out there right now. And you mentioned it was launched in 2018. Why do you think it's taken so long? And why is it so popular right now? Basically just in the last month.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I feel like the gaming industry as a whole has kind of reinvented how it approaches indie developers. Like I think years ago, I think indies were like this notion, but no big websites, no big platforms were really devoting a lot of time to it. And then we saw games like Fall Guys that kind of dominated, which is another game about jelly beans that came out. And I think over the last, I would say like 18, 19 months or so, indies have really been kind of revolutionized and given a pedestal which is deserved in the industry. But yeah, at first, I think personally, I mean, we saw a big jump in it on Twitch, and that's where the popularity came from. You know, Twitch, streamers, influencers, they're really an official marketing arm now for a lot of games. I go to a lot of press events and things, and now the ratio between journalists and influencers is very up and down because that's a big cue of marketing. And so we saw like a lot of people on Twitch, but then everybody's kind of attributing Twitch being the reason why it's so popular. But I don't think it would have even become a thing on Twitch if we didn't have the game by Mediatonic, which is Fall Guys, which is a game that actually got rejected many times by publishers because they didn't think it would do well. And then the Twitter account, I think, gained 1 million followers within less than a month, maybe 2 weeks, I think. And that came its own phenomenon, but it's the little jelly bean design. So I think people were looking for that kind of a stylization of games. And that's when a few key gamers happened to stumble upon, another little jelly bean astronaut adventure with Among Us. And it went from having a usual average concurrent player base of 8 players worldwide to millions of players are now invested in this. And so that's kind of a nice little conjunction between indie relativity and the power of streamers.
I mean, it's an interesting thing, and you referenced it, the old keep it simple, stupid, or KISS, right? I mean, that's come up throughout you know, it sort of circles back throughout history where when something blows up, people often sort of resort back to, well, it seemed to hit people in this area, and whatever it is, the product, it blew up. It just sort of, you know, caught people by storm. This is the case, but as it relates to gaming, and you talked about it off the top, complexity became the default, right? Just incredibly ostentatious worlds, highly skilled, highly talented players. And now you have something come along that's, I don't want to say it's lo-fi, certainly simpler, but also more accessible because you don't have to be a fantastic gamer to play this, right?
Yes. I think we kind of saw that with the big AOC stream lately was she's never played a game.
I watched that. I was like, is AOC playing Among Us?
Yeah.
Was it Valkyrie?
Pokemon, like a bunch of really big, it was a crazy turnout. And she does play games. Like, I think she's a big League of Legends fan, but she's not known as a gamer. She's not like some of us where it's like our lives, like that's all we do.
She's doing some other stuff.
Yeah, she's a little busy.
She's a little busy, you know, she's a little busy, but yeah, no, I think it's very accessible. You know, there's the little death animations, but it's nothing graphic other than, I guess, the next snap would be kind of considered a little graphic, but the art style makes it accessible kind of to all ages. You don't have to be a pro gamer to yell at somebody saying they look suspicious. It's almost funnier if you have inexperienced gamers on it because they don't know kind of the talk and the lingo, and that naivety kind of actually works in their favor. I remember my first match I ever did, I never played the game. I didn't know how it worked and I was imposter the first time and I didn't know you had to find tasks and pretend like you were doing them. I didn't know. So I kept asking in chat, like, what am I doing? Like, where do I go? Do I go here? Or do I go here? And it kind of appealed to my teammates' natural want to help me learn the game.
Perfect
versus
cover.
And it was the perfect cover. So when I saw that worked, and it was unintentional, I wasn't being manipulative. I was genuinely so confused. I was like, wait, that worked. I could use that going forward. So if you ever play with me, I just told myself that, I guess.
You know your strategy, yeah. Well, the big what if for us today is what if Among Us was real? But it seems like we may be a little late to the party or the parties.
I think it's a little crazy. I mean, there was a fan that created like a VR version of Among Us that kind of makes it a little bit easier.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That was really awesomely made. It was really well done. And it kind of does put you in that mindset of like, what if I was just doing random tasks in electrical and a friend just came up and killed me? Like, I don't think we could ever be walking jelly beans, but you know, I don't think it's implausible. These are all self-contained maps of being on a spaceship and oxygenized and everything. I don't think it's that far-fetched. I don't know why we would want to do it.
No. And a bit of a reboot of like, it's like everything old is new again. So there's, you know, that sort of mystery dinner theater, Clue.
Yeah, Clue.
The wink murder, like who's lying, basically? Who killed people? Who's lying? And the rest of the group trying to figure it out, right? Like there's a lot of different, I play a little poker. And that's obviously for the kids at home because I play a lot of poker, too much poker. But it's interesting because, again, when you start to zoom out and look at where are the commonalities in human behavior, that when something goes massive, you have to start to, you know, look at what is the common denominator. And, you know, if I was looking at it from a poker lens and I was thinking that there's two different types of experiences for poker. Like there's the home game with your buddies. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, you know, that's more social and more fun, right? But also when it's your friends, easier to know when they're full of it, right?
Like a little easier, yeah. Not always,
but if you've known somebody for 20 years and you know their moves, right? Yeah. You know their tells, if you will.
Like Leanna's.
Exactly. Yeah. But her sort of, oh my God, I know what I'm doing. I got friends if they were doing that right away, you're the imposter. But also what I've noticed is, it's an entirely different experience when I play with strangers, for instance, you know, if you're in Vegas or at a casino. And I enjoy both for different reasons. What for you do you think is maybe the optimum, and maybe it's a personal choice, to way optimum way to play Among Us? Is it with friends or with people you don't know?
Definitely better with friends. Because if you play with the difference is in the communication methods. If you play with strangers, everybody's going to be talking, unless they go through Discord, everybody's going to be talking through chat. And it's a lot harder to, the gem of this game comes not from the game itself, but from the content surrounding the game. So the hilarious accusations, the people turning, like Monopoly, like it's the ruiner of friendships. This is the new Halo multiplayer.
Wow. this is
the new Halo multiplayer where your friendships will be tested.
You just reminded me, honestly, like of really like absolutely wildly intense board throwing, piece throwing, family fights.
Yeah.
Monopoly back in the day, like it was crazy.
It is
like
the absolute worst.
And so, and I'm guessing in this, because I have watched some videos, like people do go nuts.
It's so funny. We were playing a match. We're actually going to be playing again this weekend. But we were playing a match with a couple of the Game Informer folks and some of the people from the Washington Post. And it's so funny because in public, because we're, you know, all journalists, we're very like, well, they are. I'm not, but they're very professional and put together. And yes, you know, how do you do? And then we go in this Among Us and it's just masks off, claws out. No, you're lying. And just like, no, just shut your mouth. You're lying. And just everything, like inhibitions go to the wind because nothing matters when it comes to proving that you're not sus, that you're not the imposter, even if you are. And then you've got the other mechanics of, which I learned actually this weekend for the first time, is the third imposter of if a person is not the imposter, but they suspect who is, but they want to help them for some reason, that they will purposely misdirect and blame other people. I don't understand why that's a thing. I don't understand what benefit there is to that, but I've been accused of that a lot because apparently I have no intuition. When I think I've caught somebody or I'm like, they're acting really suspicious, I'm 9 times out of 10 wrong. So I've been accused of being a third imposter a lot. It's like, no, I'm just dumb, I guess.
It's a psychological profile machine, it sounds like.
Yeah.
It really is.
Leanna, it's interesting because I think what the world would least need at this point is a game that divides us into factions, creates liars.
Liars.
Yeah, this is not something that we're really should be looking for at this
time.
But
like Leanna said, I guess the glass half full, rage outlet.
Yeah.
Rage outlet. You get all of that out. You got issues with somebody.
Leanna,
put it in Among Us.
We'd love it if you could stick around for a few more questions if you can.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Where can people find and follow you and read your reviews of Among Us and other games?
You can find me at gameinformer.com. My social information is on there as well. Please don't make fun of me. It's my tag for everything is an old gamer tag joke. It's dirty F and hip.
I was going to ask you, I'm glad you brought that up because I want to know what the source of that was.
When I was active duty, everybody in my unit made fun of me because I always, no matter where we were, if we were in the Middle East or if I was on a ship, I always had my guitar. I'm basically I was a sailor, but I went green sign to the Marines, but I was basically the one that's like, so anyway, here's Wonderwall. And I remember when we were in the Middle East, I was like, sweat, you know, you're wearing 100+ pounds of equipment. It's really hot. I was really sweaty. I was really gross. Like it was just like sweat was just hair was like plastered. And I was like, yo, so anyway, and I started playing. They're like, man, she's such a, like a dirty hippie. And I was like, you know what? I like it. Let's do it. Like you can't really insult me. If you insult me, I just kind of adapt it. So I was like, yeah, I'm dirty up and hippie. And it just kind of stuck.
Yeah. I just love the idea of somebody in like sort of, you know, full military, you know, you're my Wonderwall. Yeah.
That's all I can play on guitar.
That's pretty
too
much what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Great stuff. We'll be back with Leanna Rupert after the break. And if you want to listen, if you're watching and you want to listen,
yeah,
you click want me the link to, below, right?
Yeah, if you want to hear more from Leanna, we're going to check in with her on the other side. If you're watching the video podcast on YouTube, then you're going to want to click the link for the extended audio podcast below. We're going to dive in more about the company behind Among Us, Inner Sloth, and the possibility of a sequel to the game. But if that's all the time you have for us,
thanks for coming out.
Then thanks for watching What If Discussed.
Welcome back to What If Discussed. We are with a Game Informer journalist, Liana Rupert, talking the cultural phenomenon that is Among Us.
Among Us.
And I mean, so much to unpack here because we talked about the game a lot and, you know, kind of playing the game. But there's a really incredible story here that's probably going to be a documentary, a case study in university one day. I mean, you guys go through it too with What If, right? I mean, people are like, well, how'd you make that video go viral versus this one? And often the answer is, I don't know, like it just blew up.
Yes, yeah, it's trial and error. And I think similar to the guys who created Among Us, which started with a small group of...
Nobody could have seen this.
Three people.
And cut to, you know, there's people. So give us, Leanna, a bit of the backstory on InnerSloth, because like Peter said, it's a small company. You mentioned, you know, indies off the top, but... This trajectory has to be, at the very least, unique.
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy because InnerSloth is, like I said, it's an indie developer, and they only have three developers on the team. And Among Us isn't their only game. They also have, I believe it's like Dig to China is one of the games. And then there's one more that I can't think of off the top of my head. But Among Us is the one that struck gold. I kind of want to try the other ones though, because they have a very weird art style and just a very weird philosophy that I love. That's very different than what else you're seeing on the market. So yeah, they're an oddity of being such a small team, and you don't see games blow up this long after launch. Like sometimes there's like a month delay, but to see a 2-year delay is pretty unheard of.
What's your theory? I mean, COVID has to be in it somehow.
I think COVID definitely plays a factor. I think the starting point in a lot of articles that cover like the success story of Among Us, and they frame it around just Twitch. And I think that is a huge part of it. Absolutely. But I don't think that was the starting point. I think there's a game called Fall Guys by Mediatonic that is a battle royale, Mario Party, Galaxy-esque type game where you basically just play a giant jelly bean against 90 other giant jelly beans, and you try to be the last bean standing. And it took over. That was another indie game that a lot of publishers were like, we don't want to touch that. We don't see it succeeding. And I think 2020 has been a very heavy year. We started the year on fire, literally with wildfires.
Literally, yeah.
It's just continuously been knock after knock. And I think that a game is pure and as unapologetically fun as Fall Guys is something we needed. And I think with that success, I think a lot of people that are usually tend to be closed off to indies, suddenly were like, this is a whole new world of possibility. Mm-hmm. And because Among Us has that same design aspect of the jelly beans, I think people were kind of hoping to recreate the love, especially because Fall Guys is only available on PlayStation and PC. So you've got Nintendo Switch and Xbox owners that are seeing all of this hype, but not being able to necessarily partake. And then you've got this game that you can buy it on PC, but it's like $3, or you can play for free on mobile and it works just as well. So you have that barrier entry just kind of evaporates. And I feel like the openness of that with Fall Guys' success is what led to it then becoming a solidified presence on Twitch. And then once that happened and people saw how good of a game this is to stream, I even said that in my review at Game Informer, is this game is perfect to play, but it's one of those rare games that's almost even more fun just to watch. And that's a component right now, especially with social media being such a big part of our society. Like people accredit success to how many followers you have and sponsorships you have. And so to be able to see a game that has this much engaging material and possibilities for a streaming platform, it's great for engagement. It's great for your chat. It's great for sponsorships because it's not mature rated. That kind of spiraled and then it just blew up. You know, we're in an age of memes. We have actual big brands. We have White House officials using memes as official communication now, which are just funny jokes on the internet. And, you know, for me, like I come from a background, I used to work at CBS. I've worked at a lot of big branded names where we had to be very professional in our interactions. And now with this meme culture, we're allowed to be funny and silly and human. And this game is a meme gold mine. Like it is, the game itself memes itself. And then the things that happen in it are just great. And I think combined with the Twitch and Fall Guys and COVID, of people being stuck at home and needing an outlet, a funny outlet, I think definitely was the perfect combination for Among Us to succeed.
You touched on the watching of it, and maybe explain it to somebody who's may or may not be over 30, like me. So much of the growth of this game is, and many other games for that matter, is watching people play it on Twitch or on YouTube. That's something that I've never been able to, you know, I'm not interested in watching that. But obviously so many people are. For us people who don't get it, what is it? Is it more about learning the ins and outs from the best players, or is it just pure watching entertainment? Like, why do some people sit there for hours and just watch other people play?
I feel you on the over 30. I'm 33, so I definitely feel you there. I feel like I know the industry answer, just because I've been in this industry for 17 years. I personally don't really like to watch streamers. I don't have the attention span for it. But I have noticed I've been watching a lot more Among Us streams. but a big part of that is, you know, we've seen a big boom in esports in the last 3 years. Esports, the military has an esports team. Big brands, Wendy's has an esports team. Like, there's
the owner. I think the owner of the Houston Texans in the NFL built an esports stadium in Texas. Anticipate. Watch. I mean, obviously, in places like Korea, it's already. I mean, how many people are they putting into those stadiums, Leanna?
I mean, it's thousands and thousands and thousands, yeah. And then millions of viewership, which is great for advertisers. It's great for marketing companies. It's great for developers. Yeah, it's an entire gaming has always intersected with mainstream media in terms of movies and TV for about two decades now, but in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years, it's really kind of intersected in this way that I don't think a lot of people know how to classify it, because we're seeing, you know, A-list actors now, like, hey, check out my stream. There's a big controversy right now with WWE banning their wrestlers from streaming because it divides the community. Yeah. Oh my God. Paige, who used to be a wrestler, now is more of like on the entertainer side of it. Had like a meltdown on a stream talking about it's crazy. It's so interconnected with aspects of our life that, I don't know, as a gamer, I've been gaming for over 30 years. I never thought I would see, you know, when I would tell people I'm a writer in the gaming industry, you know, people assumed I'm like some basement dweller that's never had a real job. And it's like, no, I mean, that's given me jobs in CBS. And, you know, like I said, like it's a very lucrative industry. It's one of the most profitable industries out there currently. Absolutely. And it's growing at a rate we can't predict. That's not even the answer to your question. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So are people, why are they watching?
Why are people watching? I think people are watching, well, like you said, with COVID, I think a lot of people are watching because what else are they going to do? I think too, the social media plays into it. You know, we mentioned earlier about how, you know, social media plays a much bigger factor. People that don't have degrees or skill backgrounds or anything like that are suddenly becoming celebrities because a 2-second meme video went viral on TikTok and now they're millionaires overnight. And it's just, there's such an importance on social media presence now that streaming is a direct line to that. And a lot of people are watching because they are interested and they want to learn how to do it. Or a lot of people, again, with social media, Discord, which is a voice technology program where you can talk to other people. A lot of these streamers have Discord. So if they perceive this streamer, like you've got Ninja that's got millions and millions of followers and is, he might be a billionaire now. I don't know, but I know he's definitely a millionaire. If he's not a billionaire already, he's getting close to that point. So when you're in a Discord with that person, it gives the false sense that they're my friend. And a big part of streaming culture is creating a community and a safe community. But also that too does kind of give a little bit of an entitlement where people are like, well, I'm in his Discord, so me and Ninja are pals, even though, you know, realistically Ninja, Pokemon, these people probably don't know your name, which is fine because you're still a part of their community. Like it's you make their community. That's not to say you're not important at all, but it's that strive for connection that I think really drives a Twitch viewer base. I know when I stream, a lot of the people in my chat are people that are a fan of my writing or have kind of seen some of the uglier parts of this industry, and we kind of get dragged through it, and they're there just as support, like, hey,
right,
you're awesome, you know what I mean? Like, it's I think at the end of the day, it's to watch is striving for a connection and to learn about it, because this is something that it's not just streaming's not just gaming anymore. People are journaling on and painting on Twitch, and
it's like kind of what you said. It's people's communities now. I mean, that would have been the case pre-COVID. I can't imagine how much more important those communities are to people now.
Yeah, social interaction. Yeah.
And it's, but unfortunately, I see that slippery slope as well, because as we've seen with, you know, pretty much anybody, actors, athletes, certainly reality television, once it's clear that you're incentivized to be an ass, and unfortunately, generally we reward asses with more views, well, or literally the presidency. No, but I mean, that's the ultimate example. So are you seeing people now? Because it seems that what people talk about the most when it, you know, venting and people throwing tantrums, but those people end up being the ones that are followed.
Yeah, that's a whole other can. I have been very vocal on all of my platforms about, because my last job I had before I moved over to Game Informer, we worked with streamers a lot professionally. I was also a writer there, but we also did marketing and worked with a lot of developers and studios. And part of that was streamers. And yeah, I do have an issue with that, because there are so many amazing streamers out there that are positive. Paris is a great streamer. He is a very positive and strong male, an amazing advocate for people of color. You've got Dr. Lupo, who has broken records left and right for charity raised. And we've worked with him personally, and he is as kind as he is on stream. He is just as kind in person. But then you have people like, not to call out, and I think I'm already blocked by him, so it doesn't matter. But like Dr. Disrespect, I have a huge issue with him being a big name in this industry. He is a huge asshole. Cheated on his wife, lied about it, got banned from E3 for filming a minor in the bathroom for content. And his entire platform is surrounded about being an, and that's what he's famous for. If he were to suddenly be nice, he would lose like half his viewership. And I feel like that encourages a very negative behavior with other people, because they're like, well, that's what made him famous, so I need to emulate that behavior versus emulating people like Paris and Dr. Lupo. If that makes sense.
I should qualify that when I say being an ass rewards you with the presidency, we're recording this prior to the November 3rd election. So I don't know who won and who was rewarded with the presidency.
Well,
so.
He was rewarded at least once.
Yes.
So, and to that point, I mean, it was a conversation, you know, Peter and I's background is television, and, you know, we watched that world forever, right? I mean, people figured out, you could see on reality shows, for instance, like they started to figure out pretty quickly, oh, if I go sideways and become what everybody's talking about, guess who's getting the spinoff show?
Omarosa,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so there is that. And that's the unfortunate part, is that they are rewarded because we can't look away, that type of thing. But, you know, as Peter's t-shirt says, that's a story for another what if, and clearly something you've written about a lot. So great. We don't want to keep you too much longer. So, we did talk about Inner Sloth, and we talked about the fact that obviously anything this successful is going to have a sequel. But interestingly, they chose to sort of not mothball the sequel, but certainly put it on hold and devote all their attention and resources to improving the 1.0, yeah, which you don't see a lot. So, you know, it's TBD, let's say, on when that sequel will ultimately come out. What do you expect, and what would you like to see in an Among Us 2.0?
I actually don't want to see an Among Us 2. I think they're being very smart by scrapping that. This is a game, it's not a live service game, but live service games are kind of becoming the norm of, instead of sequels, we're just building upon an already released title for years to come. We're seeing that with Apex Legends, Fortnite, Call of Duty Warzone, which the base game has sequels, but we're seeing the kind of evolution beyond just continuously evolving a storyline as separate stories instead of just one main streamline. So I would love to see them never do a sequel. And I would love to see them focusing on just building that content. Like, they're working on a map, a new map for the game right now that is going to be the biggest map yet, which is crazy because one of the maps is very confusing for me when I'm on it. So like, I'm kind of scared of an even bigger one. But I think with that, there's kind of a trapping too, that they need to be very aware of analytics regarding their player base, of what maps are doing well, what maps aren't, and tinkering with a couple of game modes, different game modes for people to do. I think they would do really well with adding a battle royale mode, which I think is going to be really unpopular with a lot of people because everybody thinks that genre is oversaturated. But I think they need to be very careful about looking at what's popular, because if they just keep piling on content, like now suddenly we have 50 maps, I think that's going to kind of steer it in a wrong direction where they would inevitably lose that player base, because then it becomes convoluted. But if they do like what Destiny's doing with Beyond Light coming out, is they're vaulting some content and bringing it back intermediously. And that's what Fortnite does as well. With certain modes, like certain modes will return every once in a while, but then they'll go back in. And so then now the players are engaged because I really like that mode. I want to play it again. So now they're tuned into that community for when that mode comes back. And I think if Among Us capitalizes on that, then they will be able to keep a very active community for a good 2 more years, I think.
Yeah. It's like the McRib. Everyone's waiting for
it. Exactly.
Waiting for it to come back, right?
You don't hear a lot of McRib references, but excellent.
It's back.
Leanna, before we let you go, obviously, we want to talk a little bit of strategy and tips. Quickly, if you're going to give an introductory Among Us online class, what would you tell people are the most important things you need to know to win this game?
Don't take anything personally. You are going to get yelled at.
These are life lessons by us.
These are life lessons. The game is meant to be angry, so don't take that personally. If you are the imposter, don't say you're the imposter. You'd be surprised how many people do that. Make sure you're aware of your surroundings and are aware of where the vents are. So if you are the imposter, you can make a quick escape. If you accidentally kill somebody too close to somebody else, make sure to stay. If you are going to kill away from populated areas, so you're not.
So maybe not life lessons.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's also a good idea to kill away from populated areas.
And electrical. If you're the imposter, the electrical room is your best. Sound off an alarm. Turn off the lights. Close the doors.
Distraction.
And wait in a corner by one of the tasks, and somebody will come to you, and it will be in the darkness, and you can kill them, and there's a vent right there, and you can leave immediately after.
Genius. Okay, that's what I'll do.
Well, I can guarantee you that's probably the plot for the Among Us movie, TBD 2023.
There will not be a sequel. That movie will just be improved.
Yes, it'll be a continue. Yes, a live stream movie. Great stuff. Honestly, this is a great conversation because you are reminded, regardless of kind of, you know, what people's distractions are or and I don't say that disparagingly, but, you know, what people use to entertain themselves, to escape. It's different strokes for different folks. It's different strokes for different demographics. But as far as the prevalence and influence of gaming, again, pre-COVID, let alone what that would look like after 2020. I think there's going to be a lot of people looking back and writing books about, you know, the overall sociological, psychological sort of fallout, if you will. And some people just say, you know what, it was a blast. But will Among Us be, you know, a one-hit wonder or something we're talking about with the classics in 20 or 30 years? Only time will tell. I guess, as Kent Brockman said, which is another stupid reference by an older guy. Leanna, great stuff again. Remind us where we can follow you and see your stuff.
You can see my stuff, including my Among Us review, plug, at GameInformer.com. And you can also follow me on social at DirtyFandHippie. And that's also my gamer tag if you want to play. I am always down to play with some more Among Us
beats. DirtyFandHippie.
I love it. Right. You're great at what you do. You're great at, you know, certainly your articles and your writing, but your ability to sort of articulate something that isn't necessarily accessible to everybody and sort of broaden it and zoom out and help everybody enjoy it is really, really good.
Yeah,
so
we
really appreciate you joining us today on What If Discussed.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
Okay, keep strumming that guitar.
Yes. Wonderwall. Anyway, yes. Here's Wonderwall.
I love it. Yeah, play us out. No, okay. Okay, thanks, Liana.
Thanks, Liana.
So that was, honestly, that was, first of all, she was, you know, Liana's great. And that
amazing, yeah.
It just makes it for a fun conversation because who are we kidding? We are learning here. It's not like you're at home playing Among Us every night or
no.
I've ever even played it. You have kids, though, that do play a lot of video games.
Yeah, and I didn't understand it until, I mean, I asked them about it. They were able to explain it to me. And it sounds super simple.
Yeah.
And it looks super simple. It looks like the games we used to play mm-hmm. back in...
The 2000s?
Yeah, the 2000s. Not the late 80s.
But yeah. So it looks more sort of old school Atari type arcade game.
Yeah, it's very much like an arcade game. You'd put in your quarter and you'd go from room to... Actually, it's more like one of the original computer games that you would go from room to room, check for things, look for clues.
Mm, I've seen those. I obviously wasn't around when they were out, but I've heard and read about them. Joking here, yeah. Obviously. But in this particular case, what is interesting to, I mean, this is a science show in the end. And again, obviously the hard sciences is where you land a lot, right? You were talking astronomy and physics and mm-hmm. cosmology and, you know, different things, biology a lot. But we know that psychology and sociology and anthropology are also sciences, right? Definitely. Although social sciences, as they're called, or the soft sciences by some. And this is, you know, one of those things where you're looking into a particular sort of, let's say, time capsule. Gaming being big isn't huge. It's not breaking news that this is a generational shift and has been going on for, like Liana said, probably decades. But what you do see here is a lot of the same things repeat. Like we said, who ends up rising to the top is the people who, you know, yes, there's some good people out there, but it's the people who misbehave and act like, you know, asses that, you know, kind of, oh, we got to watch that guy. We got to follow that person.
Yeah. This is like a study in sociology.
It's
right?
Totally that. And, yeah. But because to your point earlier, I'm trying to think of the parallel from back in the day, right? You could say, well, what's different? You watched television, you know, for, you know, but this, the watching, I remember the first time I heard somebody tell me that, oh, no, this person I follow has 3 million subscribers. And I was like, what do you, no, we just watch them his play. Games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, to learn to be better. It was like, yeah, but not really. No, yeah,
it's just it's a pastime. And I get it. I get it now. I think Liana really informed us on it. It's a connection to a celebrity. It's
yeah.
It's an actual way you can reach out sometimes and maybe get a response. Like if I'm a big fan of, Denzel Washington, I don't have the chance to like.
It's a good point. Watch them at home and do stuff and comment.
Look how close. It's the same almost with the Kardashians. You can watch them all day long. You can see them on Instagram.
And maybe that's the right analogy because you've actually then taken that whole phenomenon, if you will, to the next level. You're not a passive observer of a show, even though it's reality and you're getting inside whatever. You're literally live streaming this person's life.
Yeah. And this is a show, basically. It has a beginning and a middle and an end. And you're watching like you would a movie or like you would a sports event. And you're waiting to see, this guy did this or this girl did this and who's going to win. And there's some anticipation.
I'm sure people start to play characters too and would be different when they know they're streaming versus when they're not. And I'm sure there's a range in there too. It does remind me too of when poker blew up kind of in 99 into, you know, that was a Chris Moneymaker won the World Series of Poker, but it really coincided with online and the internet really blowing up. And then ultimately these people who were online players who were completely anonymous, you know, PD3, you know, 325, whatever, all of a sudden people were following those poker players and watching them just play online all day. Now, again, some of that was to learn how to be a better player. But then some of those players realized, man, I got a bunch of followers following me. You had Phil Hellmuth acting out, being a brat, being whatever. Well, guess what? More people followed. So, again, kind of one of those things.
What about the good guy, Daniel Negreanu?
The good guy, Daniel Negreanu, I interviewed him back in the day. I like Daniel Negreanu. You know what he's most famous for in the last 6 months?
Something bad?
A massive, massive blow up streaming him playing online poker. Like, he goes off on, like, kind of exactly what Leanna was describing. People are yelling, but he is super angry because there's real money here.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, Bubba, you donkey. So that actually was sent around recently. And it was kind of the first time I'd seen Daniel Legrano in a while. But it does show that more things change, the more things stay the same.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we'd like to say thanks once again to Leanna Rupert of Game Informer for joining us on today's What If Discussed. I think we learned a whole lot more about gaming, and I'm going to take it home tonight and put it to use. Well, I'm going to beat the kids, hopefully. Yes.
At the game.
At a moment.
just to clarify, folks, you don't want that taken out of context. Peter Smeegin canceled.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be horrible. I'm going to play Among Us and hopefully win, is what I meant to say. If you want more What If, well, sign up for the What If Explorers Club newsletter. There's tons of great science stuff. You'll find out what we're doing here behind the scenes, find out what kind of videos we made this week, find out what kind of videos we're making next week. To sign up, go to whatifshow.com. That's it for today. Thanks a lot, Richard.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Leanna. And we'll see you next time on What If Discussed.